We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we thank you for all the blessings which you have given us and are giving us and will continue to give us. And we pray that in your own grace and love and mercy, you will keep perfecting us and finally at the last day, bring us to the marriage altar as a fitting bride for the only begotten Son of God. Pray this in his name. Amen. I'd like to begin by welcoming those of you who are worshiping with us live via the speaker phones and also those who will be receiving the sermon on the tapes, or the CDs rather. The service today coming from the cool Village Hall here in beautiful Coon Valley, Wisconsin, where they're having furnace trouble and the temperature is falling rapidly, but we're here and we're going to stick it out. We wish you could be here with us, too. Maybe you'd add more body heat and get a little bit warmer. But since you can't be, we are thankful we can share with you what the Holy Spirit has given us during the past week. And we are in one of the most exciting chapters now of all Holy Scripture as we approach the end of Revelation, and things keep getting better and better and better and better. And the words we're going to be looking at this evening, or this morning rather, Revelation 21, verses 9 through 11. Now they read this way. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. All of the enemies of Christ and his church have now been conquered and thrown into the lake of burning fire. All things have been made new, and now we're ready for the great wedding day, that great day that all of history has been pointing toward, and the devil has tried with everything he can to stop. The Son of God had promised his bride, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. So the Son of God has been hard at work, making all things new. The Holy Spirit has been equally hard at work, preparing the bride for the Son of God. And from a personal standpoint, we can all attest to the fact that the Holy Spirit had his work cut out for him, because it isn't easy. We recall the words of the bride back in Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 5. I am black, but comely. Black in Scripture here being a picture of filthiness and sin. And the oddity is that she was both at the same time. She was black, she was comely. To put it another way, she was light and she was darkness. Just like existed on the first day of creation. Then God saw the light that it was good. And it's the same with every true child of God. If we want to look for the light that is in each other, we can see it and we can find it, and we should be thankful for it. The opposite is also true. If we want to see darkness, that is not hard to come by either. And if we want to find things to criticize about each other, God knows that's easy enough to do. The Holy Spirit is brutally honest the way he paints the picture in Scripture. And it only took me about 20 seconds to make up this list. Adam passed the buck. First he blamed his wife, but really then God. Eve blamed the serpent. Abram lied. Sarah laughed in unbelief. Jacob was a schemer. Rachel was a thief. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Peter was a denier. Thomas was a doubter. And all the disciples were deserters. And the list goes on and on and on. And sadly, we can put our own name in the list and keep it going. But every single child of God can say this: be patient. God isn't finished with me yet. On the first day of creation, that dual condition did not last. God saw the light that it was good, and then God divided the light from the darkness. At first, they were mysteriously mingled together. Well, the same thing is going to happen to each one of us at the last day. Precious beyond words is the promise in 1 John 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. This promise is precious beyond our wildest dreams. When the Son of God appears in all of his glory, you and I, who right now are black but comely, are going to be a fitting bride for the Son of God himself. An angel is not fit for this. It is precious beyond words. It doesn't get any better than this. But for now, let each of us peer into the future with John. Let's join him on that God-forsaken island of Patmos and hear the words of the angel: come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Verse 9 begins in a very odd way. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials or bowls full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. We looked at these plagues back in Revelation 16, just to kind of refresh our memory. Revelation 15, verse 1, John saw this vision. I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And then in chapter 16, verse 1, and I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God upon the earth. And we saw this happen in chapter 16, and it is terrible beyond words. One after one, these bowls of the wrath of Almighty God are poured out on the wicked ones. And now, one of the angels that was involved in that, one of the angels that had one of the bowls, one of the seven bowls of the wrath of God, this angel comes to God and says, come, or comes to John, rather, and says, come, I will show you the Lamb's wife. Why do you suppose God chose one of these seven angels to make this precious announcement? Well, there's a reason for that. There were tremendous blessings involved for the bride of Jesus Christ when the seven bowls of wrath were poured out. And if that had not happened, the wedding wouldn't be taking place. The wicked ones had to be put away. Now, there's a great deal of love in that. And the truth as found in 2 Corinthians 4. For all things are for your sakes. That is an amazing statement. And we would never guess that if the Holy Spirit didn't tell the truth to us. Everything that happens in your life, everything that happens in this world, everything that happens in the whole creation is controlled by God, and it's being worked out for you. What a precious piece of knowledge. All things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For this cause we faint not, for the going might be rough, but there are blessings in it, and we're not going to faint under it. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, the things which are not seen are eternal. We've got to remember this. We are going to spend our existence in three different places. The first existence is in the womb of our mother, lasted for about 9 months. Now, during that time, there were some changes that were taking place in us that if we were aware of them, we would wonder at. And if we could talk with God, we would say to him, perhaps, God, why are you giving me eyes? There's nothing to see. Why are you giving me feet? There's nowhere to go. Why are you giving me hands? There's nothing to touch. God, why are you doing all this? And he would say, you're not always going to be living in this world, my child. I'm preparing you for another world. So then we're born into the world we're living in right now. If we live the 70 years, why, it's still a lot longer time we're spending in this world than the time we spent in our first world. But it doesn't end here. There's a new heaven and a new earth. And everything that God is doing for his children right now is preparation. It's preparing us for that life in the new heaven and new earth. Don't ask me to explain how. It sometimes doesn't make any sense to me. But we've got precious promises. And God tells us, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. As the heavens are high above the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, and my ways than your ways. So if there are mysterious things happening to us in this life, marvel not. That's the norm. But let's wait till the final day when the Heavenly Father brings us into our new heaven and new earth where we're going to live forever. And then we'll see that the Father has done all things well. The angel, come hither and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Another angel had showed John something else back in chapter 17. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven bowls and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. The great whore, as we have seen, is Mystery Babylon the Great, the apostate church. We could call her Satan's wife. So one of the angels with the bowls of the wrath of God said to John, come on, I'll show you something. I will show you the devil's wife. And he did. And we saw her destruction. How quickly it came upon her, as mighty and powerful as she was. In 1 hour, she went down forever, and she's never going to rise again. Just a few of her judgments. Revelation 18, selected verses. Babylon the Great is fallen and has become the habitation of devils and the hole of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. It's over. Now the contrast, come. I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now we're going to a wedding. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. He carried John away to a great and high mountain to see the Lamb's bride. Now, when John had seen the devil's bride, the Holy Spirit carried him away into the wilderness. So he carried me away in spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of the names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. That was out in the wilderness. Now he comes to a great and high mountain, and he sees the great city, New Jerusalem. The apostate church is called a great city in Revelation chapter 11, verse 8. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. That's the earthly Jerusalem, taken over by the apostate church. That's the one great city. It went down. Now there's only one left, and that's the New Jerusalem. And just as Moses was taken up to Mount Nebo to look into the Holy Land where the people were going to be going and living, now John is taken up to an exceedingly high mountain, and he gets a look at the New Jerusalem. He had seen her before, coming down as a bride adorned for her husband, but now he sees some of the details, and we are going to be spending some time during the coming weeks, God willing, looking at the details of the bride of the Lamb. And we're going to be looking in a mirror, because this is the way we are going to turn out. Be patient. God isn't finished with us yet, but when he is, this is what you're going to see. First of all, she has the glory of God. This seems to be an allusion to the ancient tabernacle in the wilderness where the glory of God filled it. When the tabernacle was set up, we are told that the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The same thing happened when Solomon's temple was built. And now it happens here. Her light was like a very precious stone, like a jasper stone shining like crystal, the word here means luminary. It's something that gives off light, and it's in her. And not shining on her, it's in her. A picture of the Son of God, you know, back in, I believe, chapter 4. The one that sat on the throne was described in appearance like a stone, a jasper stone. And so from this we understand that the light for the bride of Christ is Christ himself. She has his light now. Not like the moon reflecting it, now she has it. She is partaker of the divine nature. It reflects the vision back in Revelation 4. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set up in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat there was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And this is why the prophet Isaiah wrote in chapter 60, verse 19, the sun shall no more be thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give her light unto thee. But the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God shall be thy glory. This is as close as we can come right now. But wait till you see it. And now, as we are going to proceed in the coming weeks, we find out that we found out already that the bride of Christ is described in terms of a city. Now, this is not the first time in Scripture that such a thing has happened. I'm thinking of the 12th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. And the book of Ecclesiastes can be summed up in one word, vanity. You know, vanity, vanity, all is vanity, said the preacher. Vanity, vanity, nothing works out. Ecclesiastes is a picture of life in this world without Jesus Christ. And so the people who are without him are like a city, but they're not like the New Jerusalem. Listen to the description of the city, how it's going to end up with the children of the devil, and I'm reading from the Amplified Bible, which makes this very, very clear. Remember earnestly also your Creator, that you are not your own, but his property now, in the days of your youth, before the evil days come, or the years draw near, when you will say of physical pleasures, I have no enjoyment in them. And now this is what it's going to be like for those who are living for this world. Before the sun and the light of the moon and the stars are darkened, sight is impaired, you can't see very well anymore, the eyes are going, and the clouds of depression return after the rain of tears. In the day when the keepers of the house, the hands and the arms, tremble, they shake them. And strong men, the feet and the knees bow themselves, and the grinders, the molar teeth, cease because they are few. And those who look out of the windows, the eyes are darkened. When the doors, the lips, are shut in the streets, and the sound of the grinding of the teeth is low, and one rises up at the voice of a bird and the crowing of a cock, and all the daughters of music, the voice and the ear, are brought low. When also the old are afraid of danger from that which is high, and fear, well, some of us are afraid of heights even now, but anyway, this is going to be different from that which is high, and fears are in the way, and the almond tree, the white hair blooms, and the grasshopper, a little thing, is a burden, and desire and appetite fail, because man goes to his everlasting home, and the mourners go about the streets or marketplaces. Remember your Creator earnestly now, before the silver cord of life is snapped apart, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the whole circulatory system of the blood ceases to function. Then shall the dust out of which God made man's body return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. Vapor of vapors and futility of futilities, vanity of vanity, says the preacher. All is futility, emptiness, falsity, vainglory, transitoriness. The same picture came from the brush of Isaiah in chapter 40, verses 6 through 8. The voice said, "Cry." And he said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Now we are going to see a different type of a city. Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And we'll continue the sermon then, God willing, next week. As we do, you will notice this, that all of the numbers that are involved in the description of the heavenly Jerusalem are either 12 or a multiple of 12. And there is an oddity when you look at the numbers, and I'm not sure what the meaning of it is. But the city is a perfect cube. And I'm sure that that's extremely important. I don't have the slightest idea why. But some of you are trained in numbers and math and this sort of thing. Maybe you can shed some light on this. But I know it's important. Thank you.